This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello and welcome, Caps fans. This is the Blue Liner on Point. Welcome again to the Power Play Point Podcast. And yes, we're at another season, yet another season. Hello, 2022-2023. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit rough. This is our dress rehearsal. So hang with us, bear with us, stay with us. Just don't make fun of us or leave us. But glad to have you here again. I am, of course, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from beautiful downtown Glenbury, Maryland. Speaking of beautiful, of course, my always prepared and wonderful and slightly under the weather co-host for this evening. It is the one and only Mermaid, live to tape also herself from beautiful Centerville, Virginia. It is Anna Knox.
Yes, another happy Sunday, Gil. I don't know about the prepared part. I'm kind of, like you said, we're just going to go with it, which I think is huge for us considering I think we talked for about 45 seconds before we decided to do this. And I think in the past, we probably have done like, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to say. But, you know, prepped a little bit more, but look at us now. It's like we're pros.
Well, you know, if you've watched the team for long enough, you know, sort of kind of what to expect. I mean, I've had my eye, over the summer watching what they do. Haven't caught as many of the preseason games as I'd like. Not a whole lot of them were easily accessible, but I caught last night's one. So we're going to go over that this show very briefly. Just going to go over some expectations, some issues the team is facing. Some of them, you know, if you've been keeping your eyes on the team, eyes and ears on the team, you, just about all of you should know fairly well all about what the team's facing right now. Lots of big holes, unfortunately. So we're going to discuss that, discuss a couple issues and what we think, is a fair expectation of the team. I'm going to go over the first few games in the schedule, and then we're going to get out and we're going to, you know, lay down some previews of next week. And I think y'all can expect a better effort, a better overall quality show next week. But not that we're making excuses, but I did say it's going to be a little bit rough, a little bit rusty, little rink rust coming back. So,
all right.
to be expected, Anna got herself a big case of the cootie shot again, thanks to her duties as a school teacher. To be expected, and everybody knows that. And the weather's getting colder, and I think we're all due for another round of booster shots, actually.
I think so too. Although yeah. I did get my flu shot. They give it to all teachers for free. Sort of like
cool.
The least we could do.
Yeah. I'd say that. It is, as I said, that time of the year again. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a week and a half or so into October when a young Caps fan's fancy turns to things that happen on the ice. So let's go ahead and get right to it. So the first detail to go over, of course, is last night's game. Last night was the last preseason game, and it was against the Blue Jackets. Pretty much saw what's probably going to be the final lineup. Everything is due, I think it was either today or Monday. I can't remember which day, but the final lineups were
it was
due
today at 2.
Today at 2. Okay. All right. Well, see, you're a lot more prepared than I was.
Well, at least that was the final like roster thing, and And yeah, so we'll see.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, there you have it. Everything was to be handed today at 2 Eastern. And so the what you saw last night was pretty much what you were going to get. Let's just go over the game real quick. It was a 4-3 win in overtime. FOT, as the official scoring say, and FOT was what a lot of us were saying last year because Caps couldn't seem to get it done in OT. Well, this time FOT was a good thing because they did get it done. Dylan Strome with the game winner. So I'm going to start out by saying I have something good to say about Connor Brown. Yes, that was a very cool, very wicked, very nice saucer pass to Dylan Strome. Thus ended the game, and he put it away 39 seconds into OT. Pretty much the only highlight we really need to go over. Yes, the captain got a goal. Yet another McNugget minute. Maybe he should start saying McNuggets are here instead of pizzas here. I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
And I think McNugget just—it's just wrong. They need to put that to put it to bed. Like, all right, come on, JP. It's not McNugget. It's just.
I'm sure it's not his call, but yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, another sponsor would be kind of nice. I don't know. I was okay with the team's performance, maybe a little bit leakier than I would like on defense. Overall, not really a bad game. I think, let's go over the lineup they had. So on D you had the top pairing of Ferravari and, Mr. John Carlson, of course, on the top pairing, and notably absent on the D, of course, with nursing and injuries, Dmitry Orlov. So I believe they had paired with Nick Jensen. I believe they had him paired with, I think, Luke Johansson. Trevor Van Riemsdyk on the second pairing for most of the evening. And their bottom pairing was Luke Johansson, no relation to Marcus. One of the newcomers, Eric Gustafsson, on the bottom pairing. And I think you're going to see that's what you're going to see until Orlov comes back. That's probably you're going to be your top six.
Right.
Go ahead.
I did read before we came on, Oshie and Orlov will be back on Wednesday.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay. Now I knew they both took part independently of the morning skate before last night's game. I knew they skated by themselves. They didn't take part in practice, but they skated by themselves. And that was, of course, a good sign. They were in full gear, but no contact, of course. So if you're saying the both of them are going to be ready to go game time when the curtain opens Wednesday, yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. That is huge because they were saying there was that doctor on Twitter that was saying, well, the way he was carrying his shoulder, it could be a couple weeks or it could be 12 weeks if it's a break. And so
luckily it wasn't that I did see, and that was like, okay, I turned it off because I'm like, okay, did I just watch my first preseason game and totally just jinxed it? So I'm not going to look. But basically, what I saw in the article today was that Oshie said, that he wanted, I think a lot was going to be determined on how he felt the next morning, which he said he felt so much better, was like surprised how good he felt the next day, and that he's just like not, you know, he's just laying low, but that they are both expected to be there on Wednesday night. And then Orlov's like, it was lower body injury. It seemed like it was like a back spasm kind of thing, but I could be wrong. Okay. But I'll take it. And then they mentioned Eller out with an illness, but It didn't seem to say one way or another whether he's coming back, but I'm assuming it's not an illness that's going to last.
Yeah, that I did hear about Eller being sitting out of not only the game but the practice. I think that that was precautions just to make sure he didn't get anybody else sick.
Right.
I want to talk about that Oshie injury in a minute, but I'm going to go over the forwards as well. Dressed in last night's game, of course, your top line, Dylan Strom centering Ovechkin on the left wing and Connor Brown on the right wing. And I can't believe I'm saying that. I don't know. Ever seen one of those classic theater masks? Right now, I'm kind of doing one of those over Connor Brown, but we'll talk about that later on.
Okay.
Second line looked like you had So this is your this is where a lot of question marks are going to abound. So you had they had Connor McMichael down as the center, and or a center, and I think he had with him. It looked to me like they kind of switched up. They tried a bunch of things with him, maybe Sherry, Marcus Johansson at times. I saw Snively get some ice time with him. Mm-hmm. I think Snively and McMichael, I kind of like that pairing. I kind of like those two together.
More than Protas?
Protas, they also have him down as a center, but. Protas, if he can figure out now that he's a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, now he can. How do I put this?
Just say it.
He's just like a porn star trying out in his first movie. He needs to figure out what he's doing with his body.
Okay, trying a little too hard.
Hard is one thing, but the. I don't know if he's trying a little too hard. It's just he doesn't know. He's not sure. He just looks like he's not sure when to play the body or when to pass it, when to be finesse. But he's definitely got a lot of skill. I saw him 2 years ago in a preseason game live, and he had a lot of skill.
He's got tremendous skill. I think I would just chalk this one up to there's, you know, between those three, Snively, McMichael, and Protas, a lot of pressure on, I would say, you know, two of the three for sure. So, like, who is going to be Laviolette's, you know, go-to? So they're all kind of fighting for it. And who knows? Maybe it was just a little
maybe a little jittery. I think the knock I have on Protas is right now he's just a little too hesitant for my liking. Mm-hmm. And if you talked about trying too hard, maybe on the other side of that same coin, that right now, that's McMichael. He might be squeezing the graphite out of the stick right now. It's not for lack of trying, that's for sure, but he's just not. He's not quite getting the results still.
That's my biggest frustration. Like, I'm going to be like a huge Snively fan this season. I just think the kid's great and I'm going to pull for him. And I just think there was to be in defensive of Michael, there was so much hype and so much talk about and so much this that it's like when you go in and you fall flat. On several occasions, you know, you're not terrible, but you're not doing what people thought, then it, you know, that can get in your head. So I was kind of hoping after the season after the season ended and over break and everything that he would kind of focus on, confidence boosting, but we're just not seeing it. It's just not there. And it's, the potential's there, but it's not. He's kind of, just meh.
Yeah. And you know, and he does well at times, and other times he's just kind of there. I think that's really the problem I have with him. Out of those three, I would say I agree with you. I want to see more. I want to see more Joe Snively. I like the way he goes to the net. Like his attacking game. Probably not the best, most fluid or fastest skater going back on defense. I don't know. Some of you out there might appreciate this comparison, but I see Joe Snively, and what I see in him is Daniel Sprong 2.0.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, guy who knows how to go to the net. Maybe somebody who's quite a bit more defensively responsible, doesn't have the natural skating ability, but knows how to position himself for that good pass or that good shot or that good tip towards the net. And yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. And maybe a little bit of even a DSP, Devontae Smith-Pelly, where he kind of had a knack for that. If you all recall to those days when he was here, DSP had a good knack for, you know, getting himself in crucial situations where you needed that goal or you needed that big play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't always come up with it, but when it seemed like when you needed it most, and that of course, right, is why he's still beloved in this town, because he was that missing piece. He was the difference maker. So
yes, he was.
I'm kind of hoping that, you know, eventually we see that in a Joe Snively. I kind of flipped through the article. I wish I had more time to read. I'll go back and read it later, I'm sure. But there was an article posted by Nova Caps that said it's possible that either McMichael or Snively might actually be sent down to get so that they can, either one of them gets more playing time in Hershey, as opposed to sitting on the bench and getting no playing time at all in staying with the big club, because of the fact that, well, there's roster restrictions. There's 23 men, and if they decide to keep Eller, and you can make concessions for injuries, which they've got plenty of, but you still have to limit yourself. And you know, I'm looking at you, Lars Eller. Making concessions to carry a certain amount of forwards in defense. Somebody has to be sent back down, and I believe it was Leeson. I forget the other person's name, but they sent down Leeson. They put Leeson, Brett Leeson, and somebody else on waivers earlier this morning.
Yeah, there was four of them that went down. Oh my gosh, hold on. I just had and I thought I wrote it down, and it's not.
I know what you're talking about. I thought I saw the article myself, and I just lost it.
Okay. Well, anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, Brett Leeson was one of the final cuts, and Anna, like you said, there were three others, and that Nova Caps article mentioned that there's a good chance that either McMichael or Snively might start the season in Hershey, so they can they can at least get playing time until they decide to do, you know, whatever it is they're going to do with a 23-man roster, and so Eller didn't start. Okay, who was it?
Sorry, so we have Leeson, we have Borgstrom, Lucas Johansson, and then Axel JF.
AJF, okay, so Axel Johansson Fjällby, unfortunately, again, the odd man out. He's another younger guy I would like
Which
to see.
Yes, because I liked him.
Yeah. I thought he last year, based on last year, I thought he earned maybe a more regular spot. I guess not to be. They're going to have to, we're beating a dead horse here, but they're going to have to make a decision on some of the older guys. And again, Eller might be key. And I thought at first maybe they would wait to make that decision. Maybe at the trade deadline, but they might have to even figure out that they probably shouldn't be keeping him. at all, which kills me, of course, because Lars Eller, you know, the man that brought DC their first ever Stanley Cup, he scored the cup winning goal. So, you know, you hate to just cast that aside, but you know, here we are 4 years later, and you know, it kills me, but he's 4 years older and not really 4 years better, unfortunately. And you got these younger guys that, you know, really need to start to get some playing time. I know I've been an advocate of Coach Laviolette and some of his style, but I really think that now is the time that the younger guys really need, now that it's earlier in the season, you know, you want to get them into the swing of things. You want to get them, mm-hmm. get some games under them. So when it doesn't matter as much, you know, you're not going to miss the playoffs in the first 10 games, but you know,
he could have done that and avoided any injuries, i.e. Oshie, Orlov, you know, whatever. That's why I hate playoffs. It's usually why I don't watch it, because I hate to see, in any sport, I hate to see the, you know, any player get injured. And that's...
You mean preseason?
Preseason, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like playoffs? But yeah, I know what you meant.
Hello,
yeah, it's
making its round.
it's fine. No, I knew what you meant. But yeah, I mean, I also saw the game before where they played Detroit, and the guy Vetrano, I don't know what the hell his name was, mm-hmm. shoved Oshie into the boards, thus causing the injury in the first place. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. Let me get up on a soapbox for 2 minutes here. Mm-hmm. Last year, the league made this big hoo-ha over cross-checking. Mm-hmm. Now, anybody caught cross-checking, they said, okay, the refs are going to have eyes on that. You do any form of cross-checking, you're going to the box, and maybe worse if you repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
When are they going to start getting serious about hits to the boards?
Exactly.
When are they going to start doing something like that for probably the most dangerous? Those things, I don't know if anyone's ever been on an ice facility.
Mm-hmm.
I have. I haven't been in any sort of sanctioned ice hockey game, but I do know what those boards feel like. I've slid into them at a very slow speed, thankfully, because I skate like a Bambi on ice. But them things don't have a whole lot of give to them at all. And if it's 2 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour,
right,
that shit hurts when you bump into that.
Well, I can't even imagine. And so, yeah, it's ridiculous. And that's why, yeah, I'm not a preseason fan.
Well, I mean, so not only was there no penalty on that play,
right,
no supplemental discipline. So I just wanted to mention that because, you know, the league's getting serious about stuff like cross-checking. Okay, here's probably the most dangerous situation you have, almost guaranteed to cause injury, and the league doesn't say crap about it. And it's ticking me off. And if they're serious about player safety, and we haven't even started the season, I'm dissing the league already because they're not doing their job. What a surprise. But yeah, I mean, here again, we have a reckless situation here, needless hit to the boards, guy gets injured. Luckily, he probably not going to miss a significant amount of time, but still, you know, why? In the league, says we're serious about player safety. Yeah, well, start showing us, because
right,
I ain't seeing it.
Okay.
Just want to make sure I mentioned that. We did have some of our listeners to give their thoughts about what they wanted us to talk about. And two of our greatest participants, as far as content and suggestions and good notes during games and whatnot. Tom Gobble I just want to mention him first. He just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Tom. Hope you're mm-hmm. feeling a lot
happy
better.
Happy birthday. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So he mentioned, so what he asked for is a discussion on, pardon me, if this is going to be a long season, meaning a bad season, or no doubt playoffs. He goes on to say, I personally think if TJ isn't healthy with Wilson out, playoffs are going to be tough. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what our expectations should be. Give me your thoughts, Anna. What do you think?
Well, I think it's time to see what these young players can do. And I think that Laviolette knows the balance between the vets and they're not all rookies, but some rookies. And I think that this is going to be a fresh start for them moving forward. We're kind of out with both goalies. We don't have to have that debate anymore.
Right.
Tommy will be back. I promise. But I think that there's so much potential that it's, you know, I do see Laviolette giving the younger team more ice time, which I'm all for. It's time. You know, it's like every one of these best players was once in their skates too. And, you know, you get older and you're not as fast or you don't heal as quickly. So you need to have the next one, you know, next man up kind of thing.
Yeah,
so, I think this is the year.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Last year, you had kind of sort of a sort of similar situation. You had a lot of the older guys out to start the year, mm-hmm. and the younger guys came in and they had to step up. Henrik Lapierre in his mm-hmm. first game got his first ever goal. Just about anyone who filled a roster spot, they had their moment. Leeson, Malenstein, Protas, just about everybody who was called up. They had their moment where they made contributions to the team, and that showed us we had a good crop of guys who are, like you said, Anna, are ready to take it to the next level. And this is their year, and I've been saying, a lot of us have been saying it, the Caps have been heading towards a rebuild for some time now, and some have even said it may be long overdue, but wherever you stand on that, this is the time for some of the younger guys to kind of, you know, get their shot here. And you know, we talked about two of those guys before, Alexi Protas and Joe Snively. I think those two right now, if they get enough time, definitely can, you know, end up looking at maybe, you know, regular third and or second line duty, maybe down the road. Maybe even, you know, when he starts getting his act together, maybe even Connor McMichael.
Right.
You know, and yeah, it just may well be time, and in the future, maybe you'll see somebody like a Brett Leeson. You know, maybe he won't be a second liner, but he'll take over a spot such as what's occupied by, say, a Nick Dowd or a Carl Hagelin or somebody like that. So yeah, we've got a lot of younger guys. I think the time is ripe. Just like you said, Anna, to start trusting the younger guys. And
it is. And I understand, as a fan, none of us wanted to do anything differently going into 2019, you know, or even 2018, 2019 season.
Right.
You know, don't rock the boat. We just won the Stanley Cup and this is fantastic and we have to keep everything the same. Well, things change. And, you know, here we are, you know, 4 years later and players are 4 years older, that, you know, let the balance go. Like, everyone wants to see Ovechkin do what he can do. But, you know, it's just, but I will say with him, like, you do have, like, the Connor Browns. I mean, he is 28. You know, he's not a young one, but that's okay because there are other players in other positions like a Snively who's only 21. So I think Laviolette is going to start looking at that more seriously this season, and I totally support it.
Yeah, and that's the other half of the argument here. I think this will actually be a pretty good season. A lot of the so-called experts out there again are already starting to crow that this is the year that Father Time finally catches up with Ovechkin. Caps roster is still too old. There's no way they'll make the playoffs. They're going to miss the playoffs. There's no way they're going to keep up. and they're going to miss the playoffs.
It hasn't even started.
It hasn't started, but all the experts are already, you know, puffing their chests out and, you know, talking the good talk already. Okay, that's fine. You know what?
I would say experts in quotation marks.
Exactly, right. You can't see us doing it, but we're doing the air quotes with our fingers, experts. And, but
two fingers in particular on each, one on each hand. But anyways, yes.
Yeah, and not the one that holds a wedding ring either.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, point being, you know, we've heard this song before. Okay, we know how it ends. And I, for one, I'm optimistic, not just because of the potential of the younger guys, but because management, thank God, had the foresight to fill in the holes that were needed most. One of them I'm still iffy on. I'll get to him in a minute. But I think because management had the foresight to fill in the holes with some pretty good personnel, and probably my most favorite move of all, you know, of all of last summer, we talked about this in a postseason episode, was the signing of Dylan Strome to the 1-year contract. It, perfect fill-in, I think, in the two center slot. If he proves himself worthy of this prove it contract that they signed him to, which I, so far from what I'm seeing, I doubt he won't. I think he's found himself a permanent home in D.C. I think he's going to play this season like he's got a chip on his shoulder. The Blackhawks made a big mistake in getting rid of a whole lot of people that they shouldn't have gotten rid of. And Strome happened to be in that mess. And I think he's going to this is his coming out party to the whole league saying, look, I deserve to be in that upper echelon. I deserve to be in consideration in that top tier of centers. And he's going to show the whole league what he can do. And especially if he gets some power play time, I can't see is, well, we've already seen these last two preseason games, what he can do on the power play. So I think that's really where he's going to shine.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and there is a really good article about him and how his big quote is like he just wants to be in a team that wants him.
Right.
And at first I was like, well, that's kind of an odd statement. Like, but then when you read the article and you find out, you know, his passion for it. Obviously, he's got a brother. Plays in the Ducks, you know, his younger brother's on in Hershey, actually. It's really kind of cool to hear and, you know, that it's there and the drive is there and the passion's there. And it's like, well, why wouldn't you want to be in a team that wants you? You know, it's you want to be in a city that's excited to have you there. You want to be with a coach that's excited to have, you know, to include you on the roster that you want to feel wanted, and then you're going to play well. And so I've got high hopes for him. I kind of have him start on my list.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think he's going to make the biggest impact. I'm excited about him. I'm excited about of course, the pickup of Darcy Kemper, like you mentioned earlier, end of the goalie discussion forever. forever, but at least for the next few years. And yeah, now that we know that we've got where the team knows what it's got in goal, I think you're going to see all of the skaters play with a lot more confidence. And so I would say look for that. I think that between the two of us, it's safe to say that, you know, even with all the injuries and look, you know, Wilson is actually, from last I heard, Tommy is actually ahead of schedule because if he has been and always is in awesome shape. So the optimistic forecast was that he would be back by about American Thanksgiving. It's a possibility he might even be back before that. So maybe another month, maybe 5 or 6 more weeks, probably going to be seeing him, you know, taking his first strides on the ice. So I don't think it's going to be, I don't think the injury situation is all that bad.
Okay.
So I'm actually excited for this year. I think they've got a very good chance. And I don't want to cast aspersions, but one final note, I think a couple of the teams actually in the division took a step backwards. You might see some teams be, you know, coming out to a slow start that you may not have expected them to have done a slow start. I'm not going to say who. Might talk more about that when you and I go on to Sports on the Hill tomorrow night. Preview of coming attractions, hint, hint. when we talk about league-wide, yeah, we'll get into that. I think between you and I, we're both, to answer your question, Tom, we're both optimistic about this year. I think nothing's a guarantee, of course, but I think there's a very, very good shot at the Caps making the playoffs and maybe even doing some damage.
I hope so.
Second round or further.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Absolutely. So the second notation on the page was from my good friend Doug Lucerarian. Been friends with him forever, Caps fans with him forever. Discussion on who you all think will be the biggest surprise positively or negatively this season. Well, okay. I don't know about positively. Well, okay. This guy could be both. All right. I am officially straddling the long fence about him now, where I was negative about him before. And that's, of course, Mr. Connor Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing me something, or has shown me something, in this preseason, and he's starting to turn some fans around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% convinced, and I will quickly tell you why. And it's probably unfair, but you got to consider the man he's replacing. The man he's replacing is Tom Wilson. Okay. It's not a fair comparison, yes, because nobody else in the league plays like Tom Wilson. No one else in the league has a unique combination of skill, strength, speed, and presence on the ice like a Tom Wilson.
True.
So, yes, I will say outright, no, it is not a fair comparison. But Connor Brown has shown me he does have some skill. So he does deserve a chance at playing on the top line and perhaps one of the two power play units. He's earned that much in my eyes. But I don't know how he's going to do once, you know, the clock starts on the season and people start playing for real points and not against AHLers and grocery baggers. Okay. The jury is still out on that because of two things. One, the man is still on paper a career third liner who has never scored more goals than in the teens. Second, and this is the big argument, and the unfair comparison is where this slides in here. The man he's replacing is Tom Wilson. What is Tom Wilson known for other than what he can do as far as putting points on the board and being Anna's hero? He is known for his physicality, which has no less than turned games around on a dime, swiveled an entire game on a dime, an entire playoff series, and entire franchises. Okay? No one else has that ability. Yes, big skates to fill. Here's what bothers me about Connor Brown. He has zero, and I mean zero, physicality about him. None. I'm not saying he's a guy that shies away from contact. But when you put him up against a Tom Wilson, I don't see that play along the boards. I don't see the grinding. I don't see where he makes life difficult for the other team to play against him. I just don't see it yet. I'll give you the fact that, yes, it's a small sample size and, you know, maybe not an ideal situation. But so far, from what I've seen, I haven't really seen a whole lot of that from him.
All right. And, but who would you put in that position?
Well, okay. So provided he maybe cuts down on his penalty minutes a bit, Garnet Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one knock I have against, you know, 21,
mm-hmm.
is that sometimes he gets a little carried away and goes too far and, you know, takes a penalty that he shouldn't. But you can always count on Garney to, you know, get not be afraid to stick his nose in somebody else's face and remind them that it's not going to be easy. But at the same time, you know, I love Garnett, but you don't put a Garnett Hathaway on a first line. So I think the Caps are going to have to find a way to make that adjustment where maybe they're not as physical in the first month or so in the game. Maybe saving something in the tank. But I hope their game doesn't suffer for it. But that's the one aspect of it I'm iffy on. But and I've mentioned Dylan Strome as far as the most positive. Connor Brown can also be a positive factor. If he can continue to develop his chemistry with the guys on the first and second line who he's played with. And he's also had some PP time. And I don't mean, Miss Knox, can I go to the, I don't mean that kind of PP.
Then say the actual word.
Power play.
Thank you.
Okay. But yeah, I think he has the potential of being a positive influence. And it might end up being overall somewhere in the middle.
Right. But
the jury's still out, as I was discussing with a fellow fan of mine the other night. So we'll see. And I'm willing to give the guy – I'm starting to come around. I'll admit I'm willing to give the guy more time. But my main concern, again, is the man he's replacing – cannot be replaced. And I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's like, well, okay. If you're used to steak and maybe instead of getting steak, you get a well-cooked hamburger, which can be nice and fills your stomach, but isn't the same. I don't know. That's the comparison I'll make. Crude comparison, though it be. That's what I'm thinking here. That's my main concern.
Okay.
But other than that, I think the D is solid. I don't know if I care for another year of Martin Ferravari babysitting John Carlson, but. I think it worked fairly well for the most part last year. I think if Luke Johansson gets some time, he'll show everybody what he can do. I like another full season of Orlov and Jensen. I think we're fine as far as the defense goes, and of course the goalie situation solidified finally. Mm-hmm. So between all of that, I think we've got a shot. Nothing's a guarantee, but We've got a shot for sure. Mm-hmm. And I like what I've seen so far. So with that, let's run through a quick preview of this first coming week. So the curtain goes up at Capital One this coming Wednesday the 12th, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Boston Bruins again. We're always playing Boston. Right off the bat, so back-to-back, next night they go up to Toronto, play the Leafs, 7:30 puck drop there. And then they come back home on the weekend for a game against the Canadiens, 7 o'clock puck drop back home. And, I think that's a pretty good start. You got two decent teams and one that's looking to do a rebuild, so kind of a nice mix there. As to how the Caps will do, so I watch the games. I mean that's what we're about here. Watch the games and judge for yourself as to how they're going to do. But watch the games. Keep a good eye out. And of course, the first 10 minutes of every game, as we'd like to say, is always the best barometer. But these three, I think, will be a pretty good start. And they got a mini homestand. Actually, next Monday is the game after that, home against Vancouver, against our old friend Bruce Boudreau. It's another younger team that is a good measuring stick. So good first four games. So watch the games and make your own judgment. Now, don't just go by what we're saying, the experts that I'm waving my finger at right now and what they're saying either.
Right.
Screw them. Make your own call, but watch the games and be be ever mindful about how the newcomers are doing and the young guys are doing, because that's who's going to carry the team in the first month or so, I think, for sure. Okay, Mermaid, did you have anything else you wanted to throw out there?
I did not.
Okay. All right. So, with that, I think this is a pretty good place to stop. Again, watch the games. We're trying to get some more. Well, we're always trying to get some more people involved. So if you're listening to us for the first time, Anna, why don't you, if you could, put out your contact information, if you could. How's the best way to reach you?
I would say we'll go with Instagram at Aquinox49 and Facebook, which I'm on the Power Play site. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Yep. And of course, the Facebook page is probably the best way to contact us. Facebook, it's Power Play Point Podcast in all capital letters, of course. I will go ahead and give out my personal email once again. It's GLHALLOWED@yahoo.com. You want to contact me directly. You want a question posted on air, contact me there, or just post something on the Facebook page. All right, we're going to wrap it up and really, really hoping this is a good year for the Caps. I'm optimistic, cautiously so, but I'm fairly optimistic.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a pretty good year, pretty entertaining year. And judging by the Mermaid, she thinks so too. So, just keep up the good vibes. That's all we're asking here. And, if you see something negative, that, try to make it constructive. That's our one rule. But just keep an open mind, watch the games, and, don't be a jerk. And we make the fan the star here. So you are welcome to contribute, but do so in a constructive way. That's all we ask. So with that, this is the for the Mermaid. This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you.
Yeah. Well,
I actually had, I don't know if you remember telling me this, but your daughter has a wicked streak.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you telling me a story that when she was six, she got into a mood and lined up all her dolls towards the outdoor grill.
Okay.
You know what she was doing, of course, right?
I do not, so...
She was having a barbecue!
Oh. But see, if you knew my daughter, you know that she doesn't have Barbies. She has superheroes.
Yes, but I can also see her lining up Barbie dolls and...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Putting together her own private firing squad, so...
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Didn't mean to ruin your joke, but yes, you are correct.
It's fine. Okay, so to open the curtain on 2022-2023, hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
The Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.